Scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Joshua, the first chapter, the ninth verse, and it reads, "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." May God add his blessing to our reading, our hearing, our understanding and living of this his holy word. Amen.
Good morning. I would like to read that verse together again, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Let us read it together. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever or wherever thou goest." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to share your word with your people. I want to echo the prayer of thy servant, John Newton, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you may give me your humility, your simplicity. I pray that you may keep me poor and low, seeking only thee to know, weaned from my lordly self, weaned from the miser's pelf, weaned from the scorner's ways, and weaned from the lust of praise. And as David said, may the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, for I have asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you are happy whenever you come into the Lord's house? Okay, maybe I like to hear amen, but maybe I'm the only one. Amen. Amen, thank you. In Psalm 122, verse 1, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." We should be glad when we come into God's house. You know why? It's the Sabbath, and the burdens of the week are behind us. We come to spend time with Jesus. Amen? Amen? Oftentimes in life, we face battles. Do we face battles in life? And discouragements. And we all but give up hope. But I have found and have been encouraged to know that every time I'm going through something, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm going, God has always been and always will be with me everywhere I go. At the beginning of this chapter, let's go up to verse 1 of Joshua and just give you a brief little background of what was going on. Verse 1, we're going to read it to verse 9. "Now after the death of Moses," after the death of who? Moses, "the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise," or get up, "and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. And listen to this, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." And listen to this one. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not let thee down." How many of you have been let down by people? God says, "I will not let you down. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, not some of it, all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This is the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, how, when? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do how much? Some of it? All that is written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good, what? Success. And here's our verse. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. This, what we just saw here, is kind of like a changing of responsibilities from Moses to Joshua. And what I love about this is before Joshua even starts his mission, God is saying, I'm going to give you success. I'm going to promise you victory. You will be successful. Don't you love a God like that? Before you even start your journey, God says, you're going to be successful. Why? Because I will go with you everywhere you go. But there's conditions. What are those conditions? Anybody know? We must do what? We must be strong and of encouragement. But what else? Walk according to his laws. If you want success, you must do all that the Lord has commanded you. Not some of it, but all. And he's promised, he will not fail us. And not only that, he said, you know what? There's not going to be anyone that's going to be able to stand in your way, Joshua. No one is going to be able to stand in your way when I'm with you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 54, the Bible says, there is no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, I shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of who? Is of who?
God.
God, saith the Lord. Man, I feel like I'm speaking to just... Anyway, let me... I want to share with you some Bible promises that show how long God has been with each and every one of us. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. This is another well-known one. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet at a young age, according to historians. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. Say amen when you're there, please. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Ananoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am what? With thee, to deliver thee, saith who? The Lord. God knew us and what we would have to go through before we were even thought about by our parents. God knew what we would go through before we even came out of our mother's womb. Sometimes in this life, we look at the things going on around us and the things happening in our family, and we're like, God, we ask God, God already knows. He understands. The Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Did Jesus witness his friends and his family being persecuted? His cousin, John the Baptist, what happened to him? He was beheaded. Jesus understands what it's like not to be liked by his friends, to be looked down upon because he wasn't the most popular. What did the Pharisees say to him? How can this man read when he has no what? Letters. He's uneducated. He stepped into the temple to read, and they asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? What does he know about us reading or letters and all of these other things? What does he know about these things? People will look down upon us. People will leave us. But God has said, I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. And Jesus knew that when he was leaving this earth. And what did he tell his disciples before he descended? Go ye, that's an action. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. And what? Lo, I am with you sometimes, always, even until the end of the world. David says in Psalm 27, verse 10, if you want to turn there, you can turn there. Did Jesus know what it was like to be left by his father and mother? He did. Remember when they went to town and Jesus was in the temple and they forgot all about him. And when they came back, they wanted to blame Jesus. Why didn't you tell us you were going to stay? And what did Jesus say? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? King David knew what it was like to be forsaken by his friends and his family. And in Psalm 27, verse 10, he says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The prophet Isaiah says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, she may forget. But God says, yet I will not forget thee. And why? Because I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You are with God everywhere you go. If we understood how precious we were to God. David says, when I lie down to sleep, I'm still in your thoughts. All God is doing every single day is looking of ways to bless you. He's not looking for ways to harm you. Even our trials are meant to be blessings. They're meant to bless us. To let us see how much we need God and how much he longs to be with us. So have you ever asked, how well does God know me? I know I have. There are times where you're going through something, God, you don't care. What's the point of talking to you about it? You don't care. You don't care, God. Well, it's important for us to understand three important characteristics of the majesty of God. Number one, his omniscience. What did I say? What does that mean? He knows all things. God is all-knowing. The second, he is omnipresent. What does that mean? He is everywhere. And the third, he's omnipotent. You know, there's this word, man, that drink was potent. What does that mean? It was strong. But God is all strong, all powerful. He's omnipotent. And the best chapter to understand this is Psalm chapter 139. Go with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I love the book of Psalms, by the way. David is, next to Christ, one of my favorite Bible characters. Psalm chapter 139. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 18 and verse 23 to 24. I also like to read the Bible, so if you didn't bring your Bible, I'm sorry. We're going to be flipping through it a lot. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 18. Say amen when you're there.
Amen.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Right off the bat, David is acknowledging, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. God knows when I'm sitting down, and he knows when I'm going to get up, and he knows when I am up. Thou understandest my thought from afar off. God understands your thought even before you think it. God knows exactly what you're thinking. God knows that some of us are thinking, man, I can't wait to get till this guy's done speaking. God knows, man, I can't wait till church is over and I can go home and eat my food. He knows it. Thou compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know, I was reading this week in the great controversy, the judgment. And let me tell you, that is a solemn chapter. If we knew that everything we do is being recorded and has been recorded, Sister White says we would be careful the words we speak, the things we do, and the places we go, not only in public, but in private. And not just the big things, but the little things. Man, can you imagine an angel? Angels are sitting next to each and every one of us. Who's on their phone right now, God, paying attention to the message? Who's talking, God? And they're recording it. Oh, David is talking. So-and-so is talking. Not listening to the message. So-and-so is doing this. And they carry that to God. How careful we would be. Well, maybe that's just me. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. That word beset means he has encompassed me. He has surrounded me. He is everywhere. Such knowledge, David says, is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Sometimes when you try to think about the majesty of God, you just can't even reach it. There comes a point where you just have to stop. And you just have to say what the hymnist said, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love. The only word he can use to describe it. Amazing love.
Amen.
John the Beloved said, what love, oh, what love is this, that we should be called the sons of God. You can't put words to Jesus' love. And then he says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Some of us try to run from God, thinking we can run. You know anybody who tried to do that? Jonah. Even David did. Jonah tried to run. He was supposed to go where? Nineveh. Where did he go? He wanted to go on a vacation to Tarshish. And what did God do? God said, you know what? Jonah, I sent you on a specific mission. So since you want to do your own thing, let me go use a fish. You want to go on vacation? I'll give you vacation, but not on a cruise. I'll send a fish to come get you. You know what I love about God is His love is so good. And the thing is, it's not about us. It's about others as well. We get so selfish. Jonah got so selfish. These people, they won't listen to me, God. Me, 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 I. And God says, I'm sending you on a mission, not just to save them, but yourself. We need to realize that the gifts and the talents that God gives to us, we're not just supposed to hoard, because those are the very gifts God gives to us to save ourselves. We are called. Every member, Sister White says, in Christ Object Lessons and Christian Service, every member is born into the family of God. Anyone know what she says? A missionary. Not to be stationary and selfish, but to be a missionary. And what is that mission? To share the gospel of Christ to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And you know, if you try to run from that mission, God will find you. He might not bring a whale, but He'll bring a storm to try to get you back on track. David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Where can I go to run from you, God? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He could say that because in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. You cannot run from the master of ocean and sea and sky. He's everywhere, not in everything, but everywhere. If I take the wings of the morning, verse 9, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, the Bible says. But even the Lord directs the person's steps who wants to try and go away from God. You can't escape Him. Martin Luther King's father had a sermon called The Inescapable God. Even the wicked cannot escape God. Because He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father of things in heaven and things on earth and things underneath the earth. Amen. Every tongue shall confess. You cannot escape Him. But praise the Lord, as we heard last week in church, praise the Lord, you can't escape His love. Everything God does is out of love. Out of love. Even the destruction of the wicked is out of love. Even for the wicked. You know why? Because Sister White says they would not be happy in heaven. The atmosphere there, they would not like. It would be to them disdain. Because they're so used to living a life about themselves. In heaven, that atmosphere is a life of service. A life of giving. But they've been used to just doing things to their own. So out of mercy, God says, I cannot bring you here. I must destroy you. I must destroy you. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. We know that nothing good happens at nighttime, right? And many people think they can cover up their doings at night. Even some of us. We watch movies we're not supposed to watch at night. We read books we're not supposed to be reading at night. Oh, well, you know, no one else can see it. I'm okay. But you know what? God sees it. And every filthy movie or every dirty book that you read, the angels are right there. Writing it down. And you know what? They don't do it in a way and they say, oh God, look what they're doing. No. It grieves God's heart. It breaks His heart when He sees us doing things that are not right. That's why it's called grieving the Holy Spirit. It makes Him sad. It hurts him. Verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, Lord, you, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Did God create the light from the day? Yes, he did. He separated them both, so he would know what's going on. For thou hast possessed my reins, my kidneys, or my kidney region, my loins. It's considered the source of emotions, feelings, or affections. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. When I think of that, God was shaping you in your mother's womb. He shaped your nose, your ears, your eyes. He knew your name. Not only that, we think of just our outward extremities, our fingers, but God shaped the bones inside our fingers, the particles. I mean, it's just so deep. How deep God goes with us. It is so deep and so beautiful. And David exclaims that in the next verse, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He says, that my soul knows very well, Lord, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. I looked this up and what this means, because sometimes I'm confused on some things that these people say in the Bible. And basically what they're saying is, before I was even created, you saw me in my fullest. You numbered my days. You knew how long I would live. Yet being unperfect, I wasn't even a finished product, but you knew me. Man, when I read things like that, I'm like, God, how powerful and mighty you are. Before I even came out of my womb, you knew how many days, how long I would live. You saw me in my perfect substance. And in thy book, all my memories were written, all my days, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Like I said, before we even drew a breath, God had already numbered our days, already written them in his book. How precious also are thy thoughts, O God, unto me. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You know, we go to sleep at night, but God never slumbers. David says that in another psalm. The Lord never slumbers nor sleeps. Does anyone know the difference between sleeping and slumbering? Sleeping is, you know, let me see how I can put this. Slumbering are those people who are, you know, you can do whatever and they're just out of it. How many of you know those people? You can just do whatever and they're just out of it. But when you're asleep, you can at least wake them up. I know I had a friend a few weeks ago. I went to Connecticut and he was slumbering. No matter what I did, he wouldn't wake up. But those people who sleep, you say, hey, you can get them up. Sleeping and slumbering. God doesn't do either. And why? Because he's constantly thinking, how can I bless my child? How can I protect my child? He is constantly thinking of that. If we would get our minds that we must become like little children and view God in that light, that he looks at us as children, as a father pitieth his son, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows we are weak. David says, He does not treat us according to our iniquities. If some of us were treated according to our sins, guess what? I would be the first one to say I would not be here. But he says he remembers our frame. He remembers how we were structured. Excuse me. He knows that we are just dust. We're nothing. He understands that, and he takes it into account. When you fall, he's not like your friends. Oh, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Shame on you. Shame on you. But like a father, he says, come on, let's try this again. Let's get up and do this again. And such tender, pitying words God uses towards us. He's so gentle. He's so gentle. In verse 23 and verse 24, David says, so Lord, because of all of this, because of all of these things, search me, O God, and know my heart, because I don't know my heart. I think I do, but you know me so much better than I do. You dig so much deeper than I do. We as human beings, we look on outward appearances. We see a drunk and we say, oh man, they're lost. There's no way God can use them. But I remember when the prophet of God went to go anoint a new king because Saul was rejected. This is a man of God, by the way, and even we make mistakes. And he said, Saul, Samuel was like, Lord, this must be the one. Spirit of prophecy says he reminded him just of Saul. He was tall and good to look upon. And God says, do not look on his countenance, nor the height of his stature. For what? Why did God say that? For I have what? Refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks on the heart. He looks on the heart. He's not concerned about, you know, some of us dress really well and, you know, we speak really well. And those things are important. God desires us to be eloquent and things like that. Why? Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But he's not so down to the line with those things. But what he desires is a contrite heart and a humble spirit. David says, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. And so then he rejects Saul. Jesse doesn't bring all his sons because, you know, David's about his father's business. And then here comes David. And the Bible says he was of a ruddy countenance and good to look upon. He was good to look upon. But God knows our hearts. He knows everything. Do you know your own heart? Do you know why you do the things you do? Some of us may think we do, and if we do, I would plead with us to really ask God to show us our hearts. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? It is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Job also says this, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. The Christian journey is not for the faint of heart. Amen. It requires toil, sweat, sacrifice, and tears. And for some, it may require blood, and for others, their own lives. But the same God who was with Daniel in the lion's den, and who was in with the fire with the three Hebrew boys, he did not leave them to face the fire alone. He went in the fire with them. And who followed the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, is the same God who will shield us from all the trials and temptations we will go through. Amen. And I remember a movie I once watched a long time ago. I don't like saying names of movies, but it was a long time ago. And it's The Count of Monte Cristo. And I remember the father was in the banquet hall putting a party on for a bunch of people. And his son was there and he looked at him and he said, my friend, life is a storm. You will bask in the sun one moment and be dashed against the rocks the next. But what makes you a man or woman is what you do when the storm comes. That is what will determine success in this life. Trials are bound to come. But what you do when the storm comes is what matters. Do you run and hide? Or do you face it head on? Now, I don't like the way he ended it because it made it seem like we as humans have the power to face a storm by ourselves. But I will say this, when the storm comes, it depends upon who you run to. Many people run to friends, family. But David says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the what? The heavens and the earth. When you're in distress, you know, as a Christian, you can run to God.
Amen.
And you have nothing to fear. You don't have to look at the storm and say, oh no, mommy, daddy, help me. No, but you can say, dear Heavenly Father, I need you. Please help me. And you know what? He's not always going to come right when you want him to. But as one pastor said, he might not come when you want him to, but he'll always come on time. He will not always come when you want him to come, but you can believe he will always come on time. A few months ago, while I was in school, I was going through something in my life, and a friend of me sent me these hymnals. And it's an old hymn called We'll Understand It By and By. And it said, so I'll hide my heartache behind a smile. And though he try me, I know I'll find that all my burdens are silver lined. Because we'll talk it over in the by and by.
Amen.
We'll talk it over, my Lord and I, and I'll ask him the reasons. And he'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. I want to tell you a story. Janie West Metzgar was an orphan who was left on the steps of Buckner's Baptist Orphanage in a potato basket. On her birth certificate, it only lists Janie, baby girl. The last name of West was given to her by her teachers and the staff at the Buckner's Orphanage. She also had an orphan brother named Archie that was abandoned at the orphanage at the same time. Anyone want to guess what one of her greatest fears growing up as a child was? It was the fear of being left all alone. And you can imagine why. In her personal diary, she writes that a great East Texas thunderstorm came up while she was spending an afternoon picking blackberries among the briars of a blackberry patch on the side of a treacherous steep hill. There was lightning and thunder, she said, such I had never seen in my life. I was afraid. I thought I might fall into the thicket and no one would ever find me. I so feared for my life. The winds gusted fiercely around me. In my helpless state, I cried out to God. And I said, God, please don't leave me here alone. Help me. Please help me. God, help me. Does anyone know what Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 says? And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Within minutes, she said, the clouds had rolled back. The sun was shining, and a rainbow covered the horizon as I made my way home. Later in her diary, she was in anxious prayer in the Buckner Chapel. And there, as she prayed, as it was her custom to pray for many hours, God promised her that he would never leave her alone. And she wrote this song not long after that experience. And she said, I've seen the lightning flash, and I've heard the thunder roll. I have felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. And he promised never to leave me. No, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. No, never to leave me alone. God never leaves us to perish in the storms of our life. And when we are going through something and we call on him, the promise given to Isaiah is given to us. And it shall come to pass that before you call, I will answer. And while you are yet speaking, I will hear. And I don't know about you, but this has been my journey. In my life, I've seen God work in miraculous ways. When I look back on it now, I'm like, God, to be here today is a miracle. And I know all of us should be saying the same thing. That were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be. Wandering down some pointless road to nowhere with my salvation up to me. And I know how that would go. All the battles I would face. Forever running, but losing the race. Were it not for grace. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We want to thank you that you are with us in everything and everywhere we go. I want to pray for each and every one of us, Lord, as we leave this place, that thy presence and thy spirit may continue to go before us and prepare the way, and that we may walk with you hand in hand until we see you face to face. This is our goal, this is our mission, but until then, Father, as the hymn writer said, help us to let the lower lights be burning and send a gleam across the wave so that some fainting, struggling seaman we may rescue and we may save. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Let everybody say, amen. Amen.